Just to let you know what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks in terms of preaching. The next 3 weeks, we are going to do a little mini series on joy. Okay, yeah, exactly. Oh, great, yeah, thanks a lot. Just get it over and done with, and then we get on with it. Okay, so I'm going to talk about joy, okay? So the next 3 weeks, we're going to speak on joy. And then on the fourth week, John Groves is coming. Now, John Groves, that his picture is up here, he came a few years ago. He's an outstanding leader. He's a really helpful guy. And it's good to get other people to come in from the outside and speak to us and just to encourage us and say, this is going really well and this is where you need to improve on. But anyway, John Groves is going to come, and that's the weekend of the 26th and the 27th of January. After that, we're going to do something which I am very excited about. And somebody did a survey once, and they said, what is the one thing that will keep Christians encouraged and sustained? And there are all sorts of possible solutions: meeting with people, going to church, praying. The key thing that keeps you and me alive in Christ is that we read our Bibles and that we understand the Word of God, and we allow the Holy Spirit to come and to shape us through reading our Bibles. And so after John Groves is here, starting in February, I would like us to do 6 weeks where day by day we make a commitment to read the Bible together for 40 days. 40 days in the Word together. So what I want us to do is that we will have 6 Sundays, and each of those Sundays we will preach on the importance of reading the Word. The importance of reading the words. And then when we have our life groups, some life groups meet together weekly, but most of them meet together fortnightly. In those life groups, we'll have material that will just encourage us in learning how to study the Word together. And learning how to study the Word so that the Holy Spirit could come and blow through us. And then we'll also have a reading plan so that we can read on our own, or in pairs, or in couples, or anybody, the same scriptures day by day. And it won't be a lot, but it will be some commitment to reading it together. And I hope that after 40 days of doing that, we'll begin to have a pattern of feeding ourselves in Scripture. Because sometimes I've come to church and heard somebody preach an extraordinary sermon. That is fantastic. How on earth did they get that out of the Scripture? Well, actually, we can all be equipped to read the Bible for ourselves and understand it. So that's what we're going to be doing. 3 weeks in joy, John Groves. 40 days in the Word, and then we'll have a few weeks up to Easter. Is that okay? Good. Well, if it wasn't, we might do it anyway. But anyway, that's what we're going to try and do. I hope that's good. I'm really excited about doing that. I'm excited about equipping us. Okay, so joy. Can I just put your hand up if you, I don't know if you, do you feel a little bit burdened at the moment? Anybody feel a little bit burdened? Few people? I heard somebody speak about joy as a few months ago. And I probably didn't agree with everything that they said, because they were in the sort of like the frame of saying, well, just laugh anyway. And you think, actually, that's not particularly helpful. If you've come in here this morning feel a little bit burdened, for me to stand and say, well, just laugh anyway, isn't probably the most helpful thing to say. But as I heard something on joy, I just realized that joy is a huge characteristic of the kingdom of God. It is a massive area of the kingdom of God. And it says this in Psalm 16, in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. Now, to be totally honest, when I heard this, I didn't really feel full of joy. And I felt corrected. I didn't feel that joy was just sort of like overflowing from my life, that people were just affected by my joyful character and my personal... joy wasn't bubbling out of me, okay? I just need to let you know. And I felt I need to understand something there. Psalm 28, verse 7 says this: the Lord is my strength and my shield, and I trust him with all of my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. You know, when David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then he wrote this psalm, Psalm 51. And it talks about, oh God, please, please. There are two things in there that David cries out to the Lord. One of them is about the Holy Spirit. What does he say about the Holy Spirit? Can anyone tell me? Please. So David had committed adultery, and then he was in this situation, and he came back to God and he said, God, please do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. And the second thing he said was this, please, please restore my joy. Make me joyful again. I have to be joyful. There are all sorts of times in the New Testament, when in John, where in Luke 10, when it says, when Jesus was saying, Jesus was full of the joy of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts, it talks about great joy sweeping through the church when people were saved. In Romans, it says this, the kingdom of God is not what we eat or drink, but it is about living a good life, and it is about the peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Anyone say what Galatians chapter 9 says? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. One of the great fruits of the Holy Spirit is this. Joy. Joy. So I just need to say that if my life is not overflowing with joy, I am wrong. I need to be corrected. And now I'm not saying that we need to go around suddenly starting just to grin inanely, or we just need to go around with this big cheesy grin that underneath we are just crying and desperate. That is not joy. But joy is something that wells up from within. And this morning, I just feel that we're going to look briefly at a passage in Nehemiah. But we're going to look at joy. And you need to know this, that joy comes from God. Joy strengthens you. Joy changes what we do. And if you have come in here this morning burdened, you can walk out of here this morning with joy. And you need to know that there is joy that is available for you this morning. So if you can you turn please to Nehemiah chapter 8. And if you've got your Bibles, it goes Kings, Chronicles, Nehemiah. Ezra, Nehemiah. So if you can get to Nehemiah chapter 8. And I'm just going to read a few verses. And that the story of Nehemiah is this, that this happened 400 years before Jesus was born. The walls of Jerusalem were broken down, and the children of Israel had been in exile in Babylon, and they had been left away. And then Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer, he was working as a cupbearer, suddenly saw that the walls had been broken down, and he went back with a few people. They restored and rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And then after the walls had been rebuilt, they all gathered together by a particular gate, and then it was a bit of a double act. Nehemiah was the governor, and Ezra was the prophet, and they did a little bit double act. Ezra started reading scripture, and this is what it says. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 9. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people, said to them, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. So these people had spent ages rebuilding the walls. They'd restored Jerusalem to its glory. And then they gathered together at this gate, and Ezra started reading the scripture. And the people started crying and weeping. And they started crying and weeping because as Ezra read the scriptures, the Levites started explaining it to them. And they got to this point of they thought, we'd spent all this time rebuilding these walls. And then they understood something of God. They'd rebuilt walls. And then the scriptures were read in such a way that it just got them right in their heart. And they just started weeping. And I don't know if you've ever been in a place where perhaps you've been away from God for a while and you come back and you start worshiping. And there's something you just feel like, you feel like weeping because it's the place you're supposed to be. And then it says this, and Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate
with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of foods with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Levites too quietened the people, telling them, hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day. So the people went away to eat and drink at a festive meal, to share gifts of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they had heard God's words and they had understood them. So the first thing, I just want to look at this phrase, and it says this, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The first thing to say is that the joy, it comes from God. Your joy comes from God. It is not something that you have to sort of like muster up and you think, I will laugh, damn it. I will be joyful. For goodness sake, I refuse to be. I will be joyful. No, the joy of the Lord is not something that you decide, but it is something that happens as a consequence, as a response to seeing who God is. Do you ever remember what it was like when you were a child at Christmas? And you went to bed and you think, I don't believe it, but tomorrow really is Christmas. I can't believe it. I have waited all year and it is Christmas. And you go to bed and you can't really sleep. And I remember when I was probably about 6 or 7, and it was my birthday the next day. So if you don't know when my birthday, July the 15th, if you've got your diaries, just make a note of that. but I remember on July the 14th, I remember trying to convince myself that it wasn't my birthday the next day. Because I thought, oh, then firstly, I would be able to get to sleep, and I'd be able to have a decent night's sleep. And then secondly, it would be even more exciting that I'd wake up the next day and it was July the 15th. It was awesome, but it was something that I knew gave me an extraordinary amount of joy. Just, I knew it was going to happen. I knew I was going to get all these presents. And you know, there is exactly the same thing with the joy that comes from God. There are certain things that you can know that will make you joyful. There are certain things that if you allow it to come into you, it will make you joyful. And so how do we get hold of this? How do we get hold of this joy that God wants to give us? Well, firstly is this. I think it's good just to reflect on the goodness and the character of God. It's good to reflect on that. Sometimes I quite like to reflect on the goodness and character of Jill and my kids. And mostly it makes me joyful. But there are certain things that they do and the way... Mostly the things that they do and the things that they say and stuff like that. And I just thought, I reflect on their character and it's quite nice. I like that. It makes me quite happy. And if we reflect on the character of God, it can bring us great joy. So those people, I don't want to ask you to raise your hands again, but those people who said that you came in here this morning and you just felt a little bit downhearted, you need to know this, that God's power is your protection. He is so powerful, and he has promised to protect you. When Bode was talking about jobs, you need to know that your guidance comes from God's wisdom. God is so wise, but he has promised to guide you. God's faithfulness is your security. God's grace is your salvation. And God's love is your acceptance. And if we begin to think on some of the characteristics of God, it has an impact on our lives. The second way that we can get hold of joy is this, that you can remember that it is God that pulls you into a relationship. And sometimes I feel like, am I just chasing after God? Am I just desperately trying to go and find God? And am I running after him and he's running the opposite direction? And I really need to know God at work in my life and I'm running after him, but no, he's going away. No, you need to know that is so not the case. But the case is this, that God is pursuing you. God is pursuing you. God is pursuing you like a loving, gentle, heavenly Father.
and he wants to adopt you into his family. And we need to understand that sometimes we think, oh no, it's all about me if I am really good. No, it is all about God and his goodness. And when we begin to think about those things, it changes us slightly. I've spoken to a few people recently, and they have just expressed some worry about what happens to them in the future. So I've spoken to, my mum has really bad dementia. It's very, very sad. She's in a home, and she's quite infantile, really. You know, she's like a three-year-old. And she was this extraordinary woman of great faith and courage. But when I speak to my sister, fear has crept in. Because whenever she sees that, she thinks, oh, that's what I'm going to be like. I'm going to be like that. And even for me, I think, oh, you know, so I forget something now, or I don't know which way to go in the car. And Jill says, no, it's this way. And I'm thinking, oh, am I going a bit doolally? But the thing is, though, that you need to know that sometimes fear just gets into our lives. And, you know, sometimes we can claim joy by knowing this, that he who started a good work in you will see it through to completion. He will see it through. And it's not dependent on you, but it's dependent on God's faithfulness. How does that work out in my mum? I don't really know, if I'm honest. She loves Jesus, and sometimes she, in her home, she tries to organise prayer meetings for people, and she'll come and get everyone to sit down, and then she'll pray. I mean, it's quite hilarious, really, but also quite sad. I don't know how it works out in that, but all I know is this, that he who began a good work in her will see it through to completion, and it'll be exactly the same for every single one of us, because it is not about you, but it's about goodness of God and his faithfulness. I think... So seeing it through, get joy? I think we experience joy by focusing on God. I think we experience joy too by experiencing God in worship. You know, sometimes we feel, we must teach the word and we must look at scripture, but sometimes just to come and stand in worship is a good place to be. And just to come in here, some people who are extraordinarily talented musically, just to come and hear the melodies of heaven washing over us. You know, I think joy can come up. Joy can raise up within us. And so if we come in here feeling downhearted, actually sometimes we just need to allow worship to wash over us. And so what I'd ask Jerry to do is that in a minute when we finish, I'd like us to come back to a place of worship, just for a few minutes, not to finish quickly, but to claim joy, by experiencing the closeness. Another way that we can know joy, I think, is by serving, actually. You know, I think that there's a few people, or by giving, I think there's a few people I know who have done lots of things with, like the homeless shelter. I think it's just really exciting to hear people talking about how they've given themselves in the homeless shelter, how people have given themselves doing a CAP course, how people have given themselves distributing hampers, how people are going to give themselves running Alpha, how people are giving themselves week by week by week, serving our kids out there at the moment. If ever you speak to any of the kids workers, you are only ever allowed to say something that is so positive and kind and encouraging and thankful. If you want to say anything negative to them whatsoever, you have to say it to me first, okay? I haven't heard anybody say anything negative to them. But we need to encourage those people that serve in giving our kids. But somehow, you know, when we give out, but there is a joy in it. Because it takes the focus off ourselves and onto serving a wonderful God. There is joy in giving. There's joy in giving financially. So firstly, it says the joy comes from God. So if you come in burdened, you need to know that there is joy for you this morning, but it is a gift from God. It's as we focus on him. The second thing is this, that joy gives you great strength. You just need to know that as you become more joyful, you become stronger. Because as you are more joyful, do you know what? You can handle temptation better. You can handle, you. If you are more joyful, you will not be sort of like blown around by other people so much. You won't be like tossed and turned by what other people think of you, because primarily you'll find your joy in Jesus Christ. And it just makes you solid. It means that you can just stand here, people can say stuff to you, people can be mean to you, people, you can have all sorts of situations go on in all sorts of adversity. But actually, when you are joyful in God, actually, that is the primary thing. You become much stronger. Third thing is this, that joy has an impact on our lives. I feel when we are truly joyful, we change. And people around us begin to change. And actually joy, sort of like, it does, it spills out over to people. And it is difficult. I don't believe it when people say, oh yeah, actually I am really joyful. Yeah, whatever. But underneath, I'm really joyful. You're just rubbish. It's not. They're not at all. Joy has just become an empty word. But actually joy, it spills out from within us. Now, I just need to say to you that if you've come in here feeling burdened, okay, you must not feel under any compulsion to look joyful. Because actually, in Nehemiah, what happened is the people were weeping and crying. And actually, that laid a good foundation for joy to come. And often, sadness and sort of like the awareness of our sin actually is a good prelude to joy coming. So you do not just have to suddenly look joyful. But the truth is, when joy really comes into our hearts, it will change who we are and it will impact us. It will change our communities. It will change our worship. I just, you know, even when we had our carol service on a few Sundays ago here, I loved that there was a sense of carols and worship and joy mixed in together. I loved it. But joy must really affect who we are. It must affect the way that we live. It must affect the way that we worship. Even when we're here on Sunday morning, I just love the fact that actually we want to be a people who engage in worship. I just need to let you know that if you are really struggling with joy and you are really struggling with being burdened, you are probably focusing on your own problems more than you are focusing on God. And that is where I felt really corrected, if I'm really honest. When I heard this guy speaking about joy and I thought, oh, I am just so not joyful. I do not have joy in my heart. And then I realized, even as I was sort of like preparing this and reading Nehemiah, that actually what I was doing was, I was focusing more on me, more on my worries, more on the things that really concerned me, more on the things that I was like waking up in the middle of the night and concerned about those things. And I was thinking, I don't know what's going to happen with Freedom Church. How are we going to hold that together? What's going to happen with our venue? What's going to happen with this situation? What's going to happen with that person? And do you know what? I just became consumed with me. And do you know what happened when I became consumed with me? It robbed me of what? Joy. Because joy comes when we reflect on the goodness of God. When we reflect on his character towards us. So this morning, we're going to finish in a minute. But you just need to know this, that joy is available for you this morning. And joy is available for me this morning. I don't necessarily think it's like some passive download where we just think, okay, God, I want to be joyful. Although I think, to be honest, I'm not against that actually, because I have seen it happen. I have seen it happen where sometimes people just stand there and say, God, I want to be more joyful. And we pray for them and God breaks in. But I think there's a pattern of scripture that says this, that God loves to give joy to those people who love to understand his words, who love to draw close to him, who love to worship him, who love to serve. And that is the pattern that we see in the book of Nehemiah. Those people, that is what they'd been serving, and they'd built this fantastic wall. They'd come back, they'd read scripture, they'd understood it, they'd bowed down on their knees and they'd worshipped him. And guess what happened? Joy came. Joy came. And if you read in Nehemiah 12, it says that they could hear, you could hear the worship in Jerusalem many miles away. Many miles away, because they were so joyful about what God had done in their lives. So there is joy for us this morning. There is joy that can change us radically. But it comes from not focusing on ourselves, but focusing on Jesus. And I think what I'd like to do in a minute is to ask us to stand in a minute. And if you've come in here burdened, what I'd like you to do is, I would like you in a minute to, as it were, to put your burdens at the foot of the cross and to say, Jesus, you take these things, it is your responsibility, and allow me to focus on you. And I'm trusting that joy will come.